enormous show. You're going to love it. The PM, Rich Uncle Mal, called through. It was his birthday, so we wished him well.
Did we ever?
Gave you the virtues of being a scorpion, which I tend to agree with a lot of it.
Absolutely. Went between the sheets with you, Robin Bailey. That's always a pleasure and a privilege and a thrill. So thank you for that.
You learnt about whether chicks are having affairs as much now as they were in the past.
How do you guys remember what was on the show?
Crikey. I've got my little book here. So yeah, apparently we talked about Socceroos coach Ann Postecoglou, and we did. That did jog my memory.
Oh, yeah, that's true as well. Yeah.
It was a bit weird on Australian Story last night, wasn't he?
Well, yeah. He's sick of the people asking him, essentially. He's going to do media appearances. He doesn't want to do them.
Oh, basically, the big ticket item. Ross Greenwood was on the show. The Channel 9 Money Man. We love him.
Talking to him about how long, the longest time you've made had sex. Is that what we were talking to him about?
No, he was the NBN.
So
they're very different.
Oh, my memory's gone.
I enjoyed it. It's all on the catch up. We'll catch you tomorrow.
Get one unbelievable finance rate across a range of vehicles at West Point Nissan. Only for a limited time at 440 Moggill Road in Rapilli or westpointnissan.com.au.
Time now to join his Rich Uncle Mal, the PM, live from Point Piper. Good morning, Rich Uncle Mal.
Good morning to you, Ed. Hello to you, Robin and Marto. Always a pleasure to join you people on Triple M Brisbane.
First of all, happy birthday and many happy returns, Prime Minister.
Well, thank you very much. Today I'm 63 and I'm getting stronger and wiser. Of course, I'm a Scorpio, Ed, which many people misunderstand and immediately relate to the scorpion. Mind you, I do have a sting in the tail. But here's what they say about Scorpios.
Yes.
We're cool, calm and collected. We love power, control and one-of-a-kind objects. So that's me, and we hate simple-minded people, insincere flattery and personal questions. So there you have it, Scorpios.
Wow. Yes, we do.
Scorpios, okay.
Oh, you one too.
Yes, I am.
Well, good on you, Robin. I really identify with you.
I'm so glad. Look, here at Triple M, we think you're doing a terrific job. What do you want for your birthday?
Well, you haven't listened to a thing I've said, have you? Simple-minded people, insincere flattery and personal questions. Listen, if I was to put a wish list down, Robin, I'd think, well, maybe I'd like to see Tony get struck by the Manly ferry as he backstrokes across Sydney Harbour. I mean, that man shits me no end. Day in, day out. I'd like to see the yes vote. So I'd like to see it go through. So I keep getting invited to the LGBTQI, gay and lesbian Mardi Gras. Mm-hmm. I always have a terrific time at the Stonewall off chops after the parade. Yeah. And I guess tonight I wouldn't mind a bit of sweet loving from Luce as we curl up on the couch after a nice bottle of Sangiovese.
Oh, wow. All right. So it's all very fun. Sorry we ruined the birthday fun. Someone has to ask the hard questions. On Four Corners last night, they slammed the NBN saying New Zealand had 10 times faster download speeds. You're responsible.
Well, like the All Blacks, they're just quicker, aren't they? Listen, they do have faster download speeds, and that's because the NBN is a dud and a farce. It's fibre to copper, to Optus cables, to Foxtel, to condoms, to balsa wood, to string and mud. It really is a dog's breakfast. Have you ever looked into one of those pits? I blame Labor, I blame Telstra, and I blame shoddy workmanship by fly-by-nighters just cashing in. I had a fly-by-nighter, but I like saying fly-by-night. It's not my fault, though. Up the Piper, we've got fibre up the wazoo. So get a place up the Piper and have a good laugh. That's what I say to you. Mm.
Well, Prime Minister, we do need to let you go. What are you singing today?
Well, I'm singing Happy Birthday by Stevie Wonder. It couldn't fit more perfectly than to have a world party on the day you came to be. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Rich Uncle Mal.
No, before I go, Ed, I want to say the Triple M rocks the Brisbane Bullets. Go, boys, shoot some hoops.
Okay.
Bye now.
Okay, call me a voyeur, but when it comes to court cases that involve secret children and lots of money, I'm kind of interested. Mm. And that's certainly what has been happening in the last 24 hours. Now, we all know that Reg Grundy died May last year.
God, is he the most famous Australian of all time?
He's one of the richest, or
is
was
he?
One
How
of
much
the
is
richest.
He worth?
800 million.
Wow.
Gosh. Made up with Neighbours.
Yeah, Neighbours, sons and daughters, you know, all those kind of
Blankety Blanks, was that his?
I think that was an American. Yes, that was Crawford.
No, no, no. Remember the song? No. Blankety Blanks, what a good show. We must give our thanks to Grundy and Co.
That's what.
Oh, there you go.
Who was the host? Graham
Kennedy.
Graham Kennedy used to sing that while he was waiting for Dave Gray to put out his cigar.
What goes on in your brain?
Oh, yeah. Well, undies were named after him. Like when I grew up, yeah, that's all you ever called your Reg Grundys.
Anyway, turns out he's got this.
What about the water slide down the coast?
Yeah, Grundy's theme park. Hey. That was really good when I was doing schoolies.
What was the big about daughter?
Okay, so he's got this daughter called Kim Grundy, who was from his first wife.
Oh, how much did she get?
Well, nothing. Well, I'm not sure. So anyway, what's happened is no one knew about Kim Grundy, and she changed her name to, hang on, Viola La Valette.
Because of the Grundy's thing. Maybe. Because she didn't want people talking about Kim's Grundy's.
Yeah, so... So no one had heard about her, and Reg went on to marry Joy Chambers, who he'd had,
oh my God.
You know, okay, right?
I Got a Secret. She used to be on this is for really old blokes. In the 70s, there was a show, I Got a Secret, made out of Brisbane. Joy was the glamour puss.
Okay, so you know who we're talking about.
So he married her.
Yeah, and at no point did we ever hear about Viola LaVayette or Kim.
First marriage.
Yeah.
Buried.
Kim Grundy.
She's buried Kim.
Anyway, she's now come to the fore and is going for some of the money.
I bet she is.
Yeah. I don't know if it's justified or not. I know nothing about the ins and outs, but it just made me think. And seriously, Triple M is certainly the station to have this conversation.
Did Reg and Joy have any other children?
No.
This is the one.
This is it.
Because didn't he live overseas somewhere?
He lived on a boat.
In Bermuda or Bahamas or something.
Oh, yeah, and they used to travel.
Tax haven.
Anyway, I want to know about secret children. I want to know, because there must be blokes that get knocks on the door.
Oh, yeah.
Saying,
I got one.
Hi, Dad.
13.
What?
Took
13 secret children.
No, 13 years of age. So he's overseas on a footy tour. It's 13 years later, got the knock on the door. Bang. And part of a loving family now.
Wow. Yeah, that's
really
a great story.
Really nice. Yeah.
Okay, so I want to know about secret children, secret siblings. Did someone die and there was a whole other family who turned up at the funeral? You know, just that, because women know when they've had babies.
That's true.
Men, not so much.
That's right. Especially when you go away on trips and stuff and, you know, there's hanky-panky and there's my mate, 13 years.
Okay,
it's
please.
Incredible.
You can be totally anonymous.
He hasn't got 800 million though. So it's a lot more likely you'll turn up if the dad's got 800 mil.
Well, maybe. Matt of Moray Field, have you got a secret family member?
Yeah, like for 50 years it was myself and my twin brother and my older brother. And then about 4 or 5 years ago, 10 years after my mother died, suddenly we discovered we've got a baby brother.
Oh, wow. And how did you, what was the situation? How did you find
out? Well, I'm not actually sure because I only met him about 12, 18 months ago. My older brother actually found him and wonder if he lived just a few miles down the road from where my older brother was living at the time.
Is he from your mother or from your father?
No, apparently, according to his birth certificate, he's from my mother and father.
What?
And
no, not that.
And they were divorced when I was in nappies. Hey. And he came along, apparently he was born a couple of years later.
So had they moved on to other people?
Yes. My mum was married 4 times and my father married twice. So, I mean, but yeah, we had
That's
no idea
incredible.
Where he was or who he was. And then suddenly a few years ago, there he was.
There you go. So maybe they just had this one-night stand tryst a couple of years after they'd split.
Oh, right. They come together, had a few drinks to talk about the kids, and then wambo.
Wow.
Jammies are off and they can do it.
Jammies are off.
Story, Matt. Thank you. Peter of Turinga, have you got a secret sibling?
Yeah, morning, Rob. Morning, guys. Yeah, look, I still work as a musician and worked in a band running around the countryside in the 90s. In the heyday, and I can't mention the bands that's still obviously going.
Yeah, oh that's God. Okay. You don't have to mention Savage Garden here.
Continue, Peter. I don't think they were getting anyone pregnant, those two. Continue, Peter.
That's okay. Look, as it happens, a one-night fling turned into a bundle of surprise about 18 months later with the particular mother, you know, rocking up to my place actually wherein I just started seeing someone new and I was living with that person at the time. That sort of caused quite a situation and an event. The good outcome is that from there on, I have still supported the child for 18 years and with child support, and just completed his 18th birthday. So,
I love it. Good on you, mate. Good on you.
There we go.
So, Pete, do you remember the night?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do. It was memorable.
Oh, you were too good.
All right, my man. Like it. Okay, thanks, mate. Thanks, Pete.
Oh, I so want to know the band. Jane of Cornubia, tell us about a secret kid.
Yes, two, actually.
Two?
So, yes, okay. So my ex and I had been together for about 6 years, and then he came home one day saying that his wage has been garnished from child support, and which he couldn't understand because he had two previous children, was paying child support for all of them. Then we got notified, no, it was another child who lived in another state and was 12 years old, so we had to go through DNA testing and pay for all that. And we actually had to prove whether it was on us to prove whether or not he was the father or not. Yeah. So we had to go through all that because it was automatically assumed because she said he was. And anyway, it turns out he was.
Yeah.
So,
and he had a couple with you already, did he? A couple of kids?
One with me, and then we had my two stepchildren, yes. And he's my ex now. But anyway, and then so turns out that he did have the child, and the child was 12, and, you know, so then we obviously started paying child support for that child. We tried to meet him, but no, it didn't happen. It still hasn't met him yet. The child will be 28 years old now. But no, doesn't want to meet him, so unfortunately that's happened. But the other story is about 2 months ago, my stepdaughter, who lives with me still, said to me, "Oh, guess what? I got an invitation on Facebook message from a girl that says she's my sister and that she's already met Dad."
Whoa.
So, and she's a few years older than her. So, yeah, he obviously got around and he's
paid. Dad's spreading it around, wasn't he?
He was.
He is your ex, isn't he, Jane?
Yes, he definitely is, Robin.
Helping small business grow is my passion. Hi, I'm Mark Boris, and I want to share that passion with you with my podcast, The Mentor. If you're into business, listen now on Podcast One as I get the stories from those just starting out and those on the verge of a major turning point. Join me for The Mentor, and I might just help your business grow as well. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
There's one thing the world hates these days. It's not having the answers to everything straight away. And the question has been in the last few weeks, what's Ange Postecoglou, our Socceroos coach, up to? Now, Ed, we're about to play two games against the Honduras, one over there, one back here in Australia. And everyone's going, well, he hasn't given enough answers. Everyone wants answers. And again, last night, an Australian story, which I guess was the specific reason they had him on, was to ask him the questions about, are you going to keep on coaching through to the World Cup? And they went down this line again.
If Australia does qualify for the World Cup, do you intend to stay with them?
I'll celebrate. Them? You know, I'll celebrate. As I said, it's... Yeah, I know. You know what? It's a real... It's kind of a facetious question because people just want me to fit into their stereotype and answer it in a way that makes them feel really good about themselves. If people are really worried about my future, they should be worried about these two games. But they're not. They just want an answer to a question, and I'm not going to give them it.
What do you think about that, Ed? You know lots about Ange and about football.
We used to have him on every week here, didn't we, when he was coaching the Roar, and he was always straight up and down, but he's become mysterious.
No, he's just had enough of the media, I can tell. He's just had enough of, you know, people, what he's saying there about into the stereotype. I think what he's saying there is that people want an exclusive. They want to have Ange told me this sort of rumours and whispers, and the Fox Sports guys...
Bozza and Robbie Slater, well, is that they're always up him.
Bozza in particular, just, you know, waxing lyrical, and that's their job, to tell you what they think, Mutto, and that's fair enough, but you can just tell he's just like, he's had enough. He's got a contract, clearly states, until Australia's out of the World Cup. Now, that means we either lose to Honduras or we go to the World Cup and win it. One of the two options. Those are the only two options. So if he goes to the World Cup, he goes to the World Cup. And that's what he's saying. He doesn't want to give anyone a scoop so that they can go and get a headline off him, is what he's basically saying. He's sick of media.
But doesn't, but okay, but doesn't, don't you think there's a responsibility to the Australian public who love the Socceroos and want to know the answer?
What does it matter to you?
It matters to my kids.
Why?
Massively matters who the coach is.
But they're not going to stop. Well, but they don't know, you know, with respect to your kids, they don't know anything about it. Like, they don't know.
But no one does. The Australian public only know what the media feed them. Okay. So there was, I mean, if you want to go down the line of what could happen, there was just one thing out of Australian Story last night, which was one conversation that Ange was having, and his wife, Georgia, was also involved in this conversation. And I thought, if you want to speculate about what's going on behind the scenes, then maybe this conversation will give you a bit of a hint. And it's talking about 2015, when their little son, Max, was born.
2014.
There's one thing I can definitely say, I wouldn't be where I am today without Georgia. I think through that tough time, without her by my side, I'm not sure where I would have ended up.
We hardly see Ange. And I remember even I was pregnant and Max came 3 weeks early. Ange was supposed to fly that day to London. And I said to him, you can't go. You're not leaving me to have this child on my own. You have to change your flight. Anyway, he did. He managed to change his flight and Max arrived. And then the next day he left. And that's how things work for us.
And if you want speculation as to what's going on in Ange's head, if in fact he wants out, my guess, it would be about his family.
You've got a 3-year-old and an 18-year-old kid.
Yeah, and maybe he's just had enough. Like, maybe his family, he's kind of gone, I've been doing this for so long and, you know, Australia probably won't win a World Cup, so maybe it's time for me just to go home and be with my family. That's my speculation, for whatever it's worth. There's no football credibility in that whatsoever.
That's interesting.
It's just about human nature and the fact that ultimately it's not what we do, it's who we are. And maybe he's just had enough.
And how much is the, what about the $3 million contract to go and coach in Japan, China?
Yeah, but how much is he worth, Ed?
Well, Popovich has got a job. You know, the Australian coaches are starting to get jobs overseas now. Mm. And if Ange has got something that's in the mix for when Australia finishes their World Cup journey, then that's what will happen. If we get Honduras beats us, and that's great for him. Like, those Chinese opportunities come around once every career, possibly, and you can make a lot of money going over there and coaching for a while. So, you know, that's probably what's going to happen. And who doesn't want to go and live in Tianjin or
Sichuan?
Yeah, who doesn't want to do that?
Really cheap handbags.
Warning, the following segment contains serious sexy talk and music from Kenny G.
Between the Sheets with Robin Bailey.
I just want to say on the outset that forget Penthouse or Playboy. If you want to know what women think about sex, go to the Australian Women's Weekly.
Really?
And as surprising as that is, it has been around for so long and they are the magazine that asks women the personal questions. So they've put together surveys that have run from 1980, 2007 and now 2017, all about women and sex. So it actually is probably quite accurate, and they have discovered that 42% of women had sex at least once a week in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So remember that, 42% compared to 47% in 2007.
What was the first figure?
42.
42.
So we're dropping. So 2017, we're then dropping to, it was 47% in 2007. And back in 1980... guess how much we were doing it.
Was it a golden era?
It was a golden era.
60% once a week?
57. 57%.
Mad for it
back in the 80s.
That's when I was in my
prime.
Prime. Jesus. we were doing it everywhere.
That's mad for it. Was there nothing else going on, or was it just easy? It was
nothing
just
like, on TV, mate. There was no pay TV, no
social
Netflix,
media.
No AIDS, no condoms needed ever.
I've
wow.
splashing it around.
So you're just that little bit older than me, and I was coming through the time of the Grim Reaper TV ads and the whole, you know, by the time I was sexually active, we were scared, man.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you should have been. You should have seen the early 80s. It was insane.
But here's the thing, okay? The good news out of all of this, I mean, women are saying that the reason why they're not doing it as much is because they're stressed and they've got too much to do. And Dr. Nikki Goldstein, who's a sexologist, believes that social pressures also leading to the decline. So women are working more. They also feel the need to work out, to socialise, and because of social media, they then have to document all of that. And oh, my Lord, who's got time for some intimacy?
That's right.
That's the claim. But there is some good news out of this, boys, just so you make yourselves feel better. Women are cheating less.
So,
so only 10% of women are now admitting to extramarital affairs, compared to 22% in 2005.
Really?
Yeah.
Dirty cheaters at the turn of the century.
Yeah, but now they seem to be a little more happy. Or we could go back to the original point, which is we're way too tired. And I think I'll actually attest to that.
Extra cameras getting found out.
Well, there might be a bit of that. And social media too. You can get busted so much faster.
That's true.
But, you know, don't worry.
No cameras in the 80s. No. What did he look like? Oh, he was delightful. He was glorious. See, yeah, that's what. It was a big chance for ugly blokes like me because girls couldn't take photos of
him. Yeah, but the other thing about the 80s is that you could make it up too. And we have no photographic evidence.
That's true.
Well, what year's the last one? What was it last one? 2017. What was the last one?
2007 and then 1980.
2037, whichever bachelorettes are doing this show then, they can discuss about how sex robots have never had it more. No, sex robots have never got more than they have right now.
It's Marto, Ed and Robin on Brisbane's Triple M.
The NBN, guys. I remember it was going to... No, don't be like that. It was going to change all of our lives. It was going to be the best thing that ever happened to any of us. But now it seems as though the costs are blowing out. No one seems to be able to get it. And if they can, it doesn't seem to be as cheap as we thought. There was a story in The Australian yesterday that said that there was, for one residence, I believe it was, there's for one residence in Tasmania, it cost the taxpayers $91,000 to have the NBN installed into that place. God. To tell us more about the costs and effectiveness is Channel 9's money man, the excellent Ross Greenwood. Morning, Ross.
Marto, Ed, Robin, great to be with you here this morning talking about NBN. Breaking news, by the way, the NBN's a disaster. Who would have thought that?
Well done, Malcolm Turnbull. Well done.
Well, it was before him.
Yeah, I guess so.
It goes way back, yeah. It really does. So, all right, here's the crazy part of it. Everybody knows it's basically a turkey. And everybody understands that if the government, which it has always said it wants to do, wants to sell off the NBN, it's going to take a haircut, which is your money, of tens and tens of billions of dollars. The government, even though it's scaled it back, even though it has got it not like the Labor Party wanted to have it, which was fibre to your home, which could have cost...
Fibre to your home.
Which could have cost you $70 or $80 billion, right? God. Under the government scheme, it's going to cost about, they say, $49 billion, so cheaper, but you don't get the same sort of, you know, fibre into your home as you would have. Now, the whole aspect of this is if the government comes to sell it in the future, down the track in 3 years' time, and says, right, anybody want to buy this thing, people are going to walk up and say, all right, we'll give you $50 for it, or we'll give you, oh, okay, let's be generous, we'll give you $3 million for it. So, I mean, they're going to basically have to give it away. Yeah, they might get $5 billion, $10 billion for it, but they're not going to get anywhere near the amount of money that you and me as taxpayers have shelled out for it. And that's the reason why it's a financial disaster. But also, when you see 27,000 complaints about the NBN last year to the Telecommunications Industry Ombudsman, what you also realise, even from an operational point of view, it hasn't been a success.
Not all customers are receiving the same connections. Like, some are getting copper, some are getting fibre all the way to their house, but they're paying the same amount of money. How can they justify that?
Yep, that's exactly right. How can they justify it? And the reason they could justify it was because the previous government, the Labor government, Stephen Conroy, had a fight with the then boss of Telstra, a bloke called Sol Trujillo.
Yeah.
Now, Sol Trujillo did some pretty dumb things when he was here as the boss of Telstra. He did one clever thing. He rolled out the 4G and 5G mobile phone network for Telstra. Yeah.
Thanks.
Now, as a result, guess what? That's now competing with the national broadband network, isn't it? Because the speeds are getting faster and faster there. But what happened was, because they had a fight with Salt, it ended up the private enterprise didn't build the NBN. The government, Stephen Conroy, said, I've got a great idea. Let's get the government to build this. Now, you know what happens when government builds just about anything. They can't build it on time, they can't build it on cost, and they certainly can't build it well. And that is precisely what's now happened with the NBN, and the reason why Australia right now is going to end up with slower speeds and with higher costs than just about any other developed nation on Earth.
Is there a solution then?
Stop. Sort of burn it and start again.
Burn it.
Really?
One again. Thing? I mean, no. Look, the solution is, according to some, we as taxpayers might ultimately have to say the $49 billion we've shelled out is yet another enormous waste of money. So therefore, burn the $49 billion and basically say, righto, let's go back and do what we should have done in the first place and basically get over it and let people have really high-speed internet, which is what we were first promised.
Great wrap-up, Ross. Thank you, mate.
Ross Green with Channel 9's Money Man. See him every morning on the Today Show. Thanks, mate. We'll speak to you soon.
No problems.
Well, on the back of that, can we ask everyone, where the hell is the NBN? Have you got NBN, Robin?
Yes, I think it's come into my street, but yet I haven't said I'm going to do it.
I'm nowhere near. Ed, I don't think Brendan, no. Like, where the hell in Brisbane, who's got NBN? And what does it do?
Have you got yourself some NBN? Does it work well for you, or is it a turkey?
I reckon they must do it where they think they can do it easily to get the most people down pat
It's not a new market, let me tell you.
Yeah, but you've got lots of houses all over the place. I reckon that might be a little tougher.
Oh, you reckon it's done on ease?
I reckon. I don't know. What else would they do? Matt from Kalanga, where are you? Have you got it?
Yeah, I've got it. Not a big fan of it. I reckon it's worse than ADSL, 2+.
Does it cost you more, mate, than your old plan did?
It's no more than our old plan, but as I said, quality is not what they said it was going to be.
Yeah, which is the whole point. It was meant to be a lot better. So that was the whole point. Thank you. Hey, Matt, thank you.
Let's be frank here for 1 second. I know I'm being straight down the line. I keep reading. Did they really do it for internet porn speed? Is that what this is all about?
I don't know if that's why they did it, but inevitably.
Serious. I keep reading that.
I've never heard that.
80%, is it still like 60 or 80% of, am I false newsing? I don't know, but of all downloads. I
don't know.
That's probably true.
It's very popular. 80% porn, 20% Game of Thrones.
I was being
serious. Don't confuse
Marcus,
those two.
Sorry, that sidetrack thing. Marcus, you're at Regent's Park. Have you got it?
I don't, but all my neighbours have. It's really frustrating.
And why not? And what's the go?
So everyone else is fibre to the node, where I'm a fibre hybrid coaxial connection, which is different.
You got copper running to your house?
No, I've got cable internet to the house,
and that's
mixing with the fibre. So everyone else has been connected for about 6 weeks. I've still got another 3 months to wait, apparently, while they test the line to make sure it's at the right speed.
Mm. Oh, God.
Doesn't seem easier, does it, Marcus?
No, it seems completely silly.
Did they have to run a whole new line, or did they run it through your Telstra line?
As far as I know, they've used existing stuff in our area.
Yeah.
But they've had to connect some stuff to my house. But yeah.
So they ran a new cable into your house.
Yeah, and it's all ready to go. We're just waiting for them to test the line, which could take 3 months.
Yeah, baby.
Thank you, Marcus. All right, Joseph is from Wellington Point. Now, who's got the NBN?
My girlfriend's parents out at Redland Bay.
And?
I guess they say it's like the magic of the NBN. They've got the NBN and the internet's disappeared.
Great. The magic is you can't find it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
magic
God.
Is it doesn't connect.
And just nothing at all or really slow?
Sometimes just nothing at all, but when it is on, it's just really slow. Like, they did have quite slow internet before, so that's why
they got it, and it's
even worse.
What do you think about our government if they say that they spent $49 billion on getting this done?
Oh, I don't know. Well, they spent $122 million on a survey. So
that's true.
They just love wasting money.
They're informed.
They got money to burn, my friend. Thank you, Joseph. Now, we haven't had many people calling and saying they love it, Brendan.
No one pro NBN.
Not any of the people that are calling.
Chris from Wynnum, we got one. It's interesting. But apart from that, that is the most...
All those calls.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, God. Okay. Not working.
Ever get the feeling the world could be a better place but don't know how to do anything about it? I'm Amanda Tattersall. If you want to change the world, my Podcast One series, Changemakers, is the one for you. Stories from around the world that show change is possible and give you tips to help make it happen. Stories of people who've been shot at, jailed and threatened with life behind bars simply because they want the world to be a better place. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Okay, yesterday we spoke about the scooter gang that had invaded the CBD, shut down streets, the police were called, they were started to move people on, no one was arrested, they just gave them warnings and said, get on your way. All started by an 18-year-old online star called Jack something or another, doesn't matter, and this is part of what he had to say for himself.
The copper, he came up to me, throat punched me, and I'm like, made me go flying back into another copper. I'm like, mate, I'll jump in this, I'll step in nice, but he picks me up and he throws me in there.
Real stand-up guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's 18. That guy's 8. That kid is, well, not kid, that adult. That person's an adult.
He's legal.
Still riding a scooter.
Which, that was the question. The question was, because I said that there should be, not should be, but there are informal age limits on certain sort of recreational transport vehicles that I would like to discuss. And we had a call from Troy from North Lakes when we were talking about this. And this is what Troy told us. What is the upper limit of age, do you think, for a scooter slash razor rider? When should they have to? When's it time to give it away?
I reckon 16.
Yep. Yep.
BMX should go till you're about 25 on your BMX.
Ooh.
And your skateboard's forever.
No.
Everyone was caught up with a skateboard.
Troy. I agree.
Hang on. Why 16?
Well, I go to the Redcliffe skate park all the time, and the big kids on their scooters just don't look like they should be on them at all.
Can I agree with that? As the father of a skateboarder, I spent a lot of my life hanging around skateboard parks from the age of my son being 8, he's now 18. All right. I agree with that. Scooters should finish at the age of 16. Ripsticks. Everyone know what a ripstick is?
Oh, yeah.
11, 12.
Who can ever ride those stupid things?
Well, 11 or 12-year-olds. Skateboard, I agree, is forever. If you can ride a skateboard, if you're still prepared as a 40-year-old to go to the pub, get a cart and come back on your skateboard, go for your life, Tiger.
No.
And yeah, a BMX. There should be a BMX buyback scheme. You're not allowed to enter your 20s until you get rid of your BMX.
Mm. I know two guys. Oh,
19.
Four,
bang,
four
done.
Of them. What am I talking about? They were actors living in LA in their 30s.
No.
And they started a BMX gang, they called it, called the Night Terrors. They only went out at night.
And what did they do?
They shredded the streets of West Hollywood. These guys were in their 30s and they were on BMX.
That says more about them than anything else.
Well, I do want to know what people think here, because I don't believe it, right, Marta? I think it's sad when you see a man over the age of 23 or woman on a skateboard. It just says to me, give up. Like, come on.
Skateboards all right.
No,
you look out the window here.
We're
near the northern end of the William Jolly Bridge. If we looked out the window, if we had a time-lapse camera all morning, I reckon you'd see two scooters go past, guys in suits with a satchel
over
their shoulders.
I think that's okay. I don't think scooters, are the one that can go forever.
I'd rather a skateboard.
Because they're inner city transport.
Skateboard's got more cred than a scooter.
I agree with you on that, Ed, because I used to ride out. My kids would get on their skateboards and we'd come down to the river and do the river loop.
Skateboards or scooter?
No, they'd go on their skateboard and I'd bring one of their scooters because I can't ride a skateboard and I can't run next to them because I was too tight. No, because then you've got to transport a bike. You can just fold up a scooter and chuck it in the back of your car.
What are the limits? Such a knob if you're on a scooter.
Mark from Cleveland. Now let's talk about the cutoff age for, let's say, skateboarding, rollerblading, that type of thing. What's the cutoff age?
Never cut it off at all. You're never too old to stay young. I mean, if you grow up too quick, well, then you're just a boring person.
But razor scooters, they're not meant for anyone over the age of 15.
Oh, they're great transport if you need them in a hurry. But I love to rollerblade.
Mm. Oh, is that what this is about?
How old are you, Mark? Can you tell us?
I'm 43.
See, I have no problem with rollerblading. Mm. I think it's a really good way to walk your dog.
Well, run your dog.
Yeah, well, roll your dog.
You roll your dog. You can get up to about 60 kilometres on rollerblades on a nice, good bike path, and it wears the dogs out like children.
Yeah.
So that's why I do it. But
where do you do it?
I live in Cleveland, so I go to the lighthouse. I go all around the Cleveland city area. Sometimes it's just all the water sides.
Yeah.
There are some skate parks here, but I know there's some better ones down in Logan area. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's just great. There's still social groups today. They use Fortitude Valley and all the bike paths around Brisbane. They still rollerblade, and they're around about at my age too.
I've never rollerbladed. I'm more a cyclist skateboarder type of guy. Does it firm your thighs?
Yeah, because practically it's like still running and everything else all day. Right, so you're still using the muscles you still require.
It's good for the glutes.
And you can crack a walnut with your butt. Like it can be, you can get a really.
We'll send some over, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. Tyrone at Beachmere.
How you going?
Yeah, good. Is there an age limit to all this stuff?
No age limit for skateboards, no way.
Yes, there is.
Surfing and skateboarding will always go hand in hand.
Yeah, that's true. What about the scooter, though? Can you give us a ruling?
15, mate. 15 max.
What's the difference? How old are you, Tyrone?
I'm 43. Got about 25 years skateboarding under my belt.
Yeah, it's time to give it away, Tyrone.
Big plug to old man skateboard riders. 800 plus members.
Oh, is there a thing? There's a club, is there?
Oh, yeah.
How old are we supposed to be?
Oh, mate, 30, whatever.
You ever fall over? It's a lot further down these days, isn't it?
Oh, concrete hurts a bit more than it used to.
Yeah, doesn't it?
See, this is the thing. You can't fall off a scooter in the same way you can fall off a skateboard.
Oh, well.
But it's your pride. What price is your pride?
Okay, now, I think we might have our winner. Ross is from Waterford West. Now, Ross, how old are you, sir? Yeah, good, mate. How old are you?
52, mate.
What's your theory on what we've been discussing?
Mate, I've been riding skateboards pretty much all my life, mate, and now they've got these electric skateboards out. I just love them.
So you're an electric skateboard, right? Is that the one where you sort of hold a little like remote control and it pushes you along?
Absolutely.
Do you know what that is, Ross? You know what you are, Ross? You're in a mobility. No, you're in a mobility scooter standing up. That's what that is.
I love it.
What do you do with it, Ross?
On you, Ross.
What do you do with your electric skateboard? Where do you go? What do you get? Do you go to the shops?
All round through Brizzy. If you're going into the shops, you just throw it in a trolley, mate.
Okay, can I just say out loud, Ross?
You walk around the shops and go home again.
When you leave Woolies, could you take a trolley and your skateboard on the ground? Would it have enough power to push you home?
Oh, absolutely.
Return all those trolleys at the back of your house, Ross.
How fast?
They're taking all the wheels off them.
How fast can you go, Ross?
They'll do about 40k an hour.
Whoa.
They're pretty quick.
I've come around. That's it. I'm going to have electric rollerblades when I'm 80. I've come around. That's
electric
great.
Rollerblades.
That's great. Good work.
They to work quicker than some of the traffic.
That's true, mixed results with the scooters and the BMX, but 100% of the people that called in said never give skateboarding away.
Fair enough. I stand corrected. Skate until you... I mean, Tony Hawk's about 106.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm reading a story in the Daily Telly, the Sydney newspaper, a lot of rugby league in it, but it talks about sport being no longer a young man's game. Have you seen this? Like, we were talking about it just while the news was on. Roger Federer, still winning majors at 36. His greatest opponent is...
Rafael Nadal.
Who's 34 or 5.
Is he?
Yeah. Tim Cahill, and this one I love. Still our greatest soccer player in Australia, and he's 37.
Yeah. Some of the goalies are really old too in football, aren't they?
How old's that Buffon, Schwarzer, whatever his name is?
He's like 39, but Schwarzer played till he was 37, something like that.
Okay.
40, Gary Ablett. What are we talking about? Schwarzer was 40. Yeah, Gary Ablett, junior.
He's got another two more years. He's 33. Mick Fanning and Joel Parkinson, both 36.
And this is about Cooper Cronk too. He wants a two-year deal and he's, 33? And people are like, how dare he? But Cooper Cronk's probably in better shape than most 24-year-old NRL players.
This is what they're saying. And let's go through them, actually. Do you know, and this is where it gets to. In 1980, there were 11 players in the NRL, or the New South Wales Rugby League, age 30 or plus. 11. Remember that?
Yeah.
Now there's more than 50 NRL players played this year aged older than 30. You take back in 1980, Arthur Beetson was running around, Rod Morris, if you remember him, Tommy Radonigus was over 30 at that stage.
Tommy?
How f***ing good's that?
Not bad, Tommy. Actually, you think about Tommy, would he be packing his desk up? Will he still be at the footy show?
The footy show? After quotes like these?
And then when we can slip a little one in... Well, I put one on their melon, it'd be lovely. But bash them all, I say bash them all.
That's an empty desk.
That was just...
But think of swimmers too. Tommy. Shane Gould was 16, she retired at 18.
That's right, they all used to finish up and get a job and stuff.
And now they're swimming up until they're mid-20s.
When did Phelps finish? Did he go until 30? Is he...
Good question, don't know.
Close but to yes. it.
Amazing. It's all about the training, isn't it? It's all about the training and the recovery. And it begs the question, though, Marto, if what used to happen, if now it's all about sports science and cryogenic chambers in between and sleep pods, Barcelona spent
load
some
management they're talking load about, management. Assessing and monitoring players for early signs or symptoms of injury as well as wellness. Do you know what modern footballers do? They have to fill out a wellness. Every day they wake up and they've got to tick this chart and submit it, how well you're feeling when you wake up.
Really?
Imagine your life. This is every professional footballer I know, that's what you have to do. What? And then they feed all this into and go, gee, old Marto over there is not feeling all that well. He's 3 days in a row. He said he's woken up with a feeling of unwellness. And then they pull you aside. This is what goes on, mate. The personal, compare that to what used to happen, where there used to be cigarettes, there'd be a lot of beer in every dressing room, every sport.
Let's find out. What used to happen? If now it's all sports science and pods, sleep pods and wellness reports, when you were playing back in the old days, what used to constitute training? What used to constitute recovery?
Rehab.
And what did you used to do after and before games and rehab?
And what was wrong with that? Well, you think about Cam Smith, you think about Cooper Cronk and Billy Slater. They always talk about these guys manage themselves so well with their rehab straight after the game. There's no beer in dressing rooms. If you don't know, it's sandwiches and usually giant anacondas, those big jelly snakes, and everyone goes home and Gatorades. And everyone goes home straight away after having an ice bath.
Right, but that's
so
that's
boring.
Didn't used to be how it was. Marty, how old were you when you finished up?
Oh, I had to stop when I was about 28 or so. I had to get a job.
If you had your injury that you lost that cost you your career, if you got that injury now.
Oh, God, and you could still go on.
Really?
Yeah, you could play in 8 weeks or something, wasn't it?
Oh, God, yeah. I had a reconstruction that took 3 years to come back from. Now they come back in 8 months. Yep. Anyway. That's not about me. Tony from Mount Tambourine. Let's wash the bitterness away. Where were you playing, mate, or what do you know about?
Mate, this is back in the early days at Sunnybank Rugby Union when it first kicked off. Our pre-game start-up used to be, the night before we'd been all-nighter, then we'd have the game the next day. Someone would be thrown up behind the goalpost. Yep. And if someone got injured, someone would run out with a beer in one hand and still have a cigarette hanging out their mouth.
Oh, that's the stuff. That is the
magic,
Tony.
The true magic sponge.
They were the good days where you just belted through everything and no one cared.
Did you play until you were 35, though, Tony?
Well, in theory, mindsight, I probably could have, but otherwise, no. I think the liver and everything else killed me by the time I was 22.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The potential wasted.
Peter.
Okay. Peter from 17 Mile Rock Rocks. Talk us through your service.
Guys.
Hello, mate. Now, what did you play?
I was lucky enough to play 10 years of Shield cricket back in the 80s.
Who have we got here? Peter.
Peter Clifford.
Oh, my God. Couldn't you hit a cricket ball? My goodness gracious. Hello, Peter Clifford. You played New South Wales and Queensland, didn't you?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, lucky to do both.
Oh, you're a listener. What do we want to ask him? About Wade Seckham? What do we want to know?
Peter Sleep? Pete, what was it like facing Peter Sleep in the nets?
That was good fun compared to someone like Rackerman or Thompson. That was good fun.
Don't get him started on Rackerman.
All right. Okay, we've got him. We need to know. What used to happen in the sheds? I hear there was a lot of cards got played. There were a lot of people who'd have durries before they go out and bat.
Well, B&H were the sponsor and we wanted to support the sponsor. Then we were sponsored by 4X or TUI. So there was always plenty of that flowing. Then you had AB and who was the captain and people like David Hooks, who always made it mandatory to come in after the game.
Yeah. Wowzers. Now, Pete, you've just mentioned that the sponsors of cricket teams used to be Benson and Hedges and Tui's. When you look at young players now getting $1 million to advertise Swiss vitamins, what do you think?
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't know much about a Swiss vitamin, but I knew a bit about Tui's. I mean, good luck to the players, but it was just a different era. It was quite funny. We never did any of that stuff.
Oh, how good would you have been at T20? But if Robin, Peter Clifford could hit the ball a mile. He was the Chris Lynn of the 80s, late 80s, early 90s. Mate, do you look at T20 and go, that was for me?
Yeah, it'd be good. You only spent 3 hours out in the paddock, which was great, instead of spending 3 or 4 days trying to get some bloke out in Adelaide Oval. Which was the flattest wicket in the world, and you couldn't get him out. It was 100 degrees, so I'd love to do that, yeah.
So, Pete, what do you do now?
To speak to you.
I work for the CBA bank. I like Marto. I have a proper job.
Yeah, great. Good
played
on
before
you,
there was money. Oh, good Peter Clifford, what an honour.
Yeah, you can call any time, Peter Clifford. It's great to speak to you.
I listen to you guys every day. It's hilarious.
You're smarter than that, Pete.
We are asking you if you've ever had an experience with lightning, if you've been struck by lightning or something that you've been close to has been struck by lightning. Ben from Ashley called in to say that lightning's only, I think it's 2 inches wide. So thank you for that, Ben. I think that's the tip of it. Yeah, that was a good one. Appreciate that, Ben. But here comes Steve from Rothwell. Steve, what happened?
Oh, many years ago when I was growing up in Wollongong down in New South Wales, the house directly across the road from where I live on two separate occasions got struck by lightning. Yeah, twice.
Twice. Now, what type of house was it? Was it made of
just
gold?
Old fibro place with the big aerials that we used to have on the roof. And the first time I was on the lawn having a playing around, and it threw me off my feet. But the second time, the guy that lived in the house, he was about 140 odd kilos, and it actually threw him off the bed into the wall on the other side of the room.
Jesus!
It must have been the highest point. That house must have been the highest point on a hill.
Steve will tell you what happens because of the range. Wollongong's built below the Bulleye Pass and everything.
Yeah.
They've got to have really big aerials.
Yeah,
that's the key to victory, wasn't it?
That's exactly right. Yeah, blew every single electrical appliance out of the house on both occasions.
Wow.
Jeez.
Thanks, Steve.
But he must have had the highest aerials in that street.
Yeah, perhaps.
But don't you reckon if it happened twice, then the lightning's looking for the highest point? Says me, who knows absolutely nothing. Paul, Jim Moomba.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Paulie.
Paul, now I've got a really big pine tree my neighbours own. I'm fearful. You're going to tell us about seeing one hit?
Last year, around the end of September, the beginning of October, when we had those big storms that come through,
yep.
We were up in a house, and down on our back property line, we've got a fair few pine trees. Anyway, so a big crack and a big boom happened, and we all rushed out wondering what the hell had happened, and went down there the next morning. And from this pine tree, from basically the top of the pine tree all the way down the centre of it and down to the ground, was fully exploded. The bark off the pine trees itself would have spread across probably maybe about 12 to 15 metres. It was massive, and all the way in through the ground from the top of the pine tree along the bottom of the ground, you could just see the whole energy form that just went all the way through. It was extraordinary.
It's gnarly.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I love why that pine tree? You said you had a whole heap of them. Why would it have hit that one?
Who knows? It could have been possibly the biggest one out of a lot of the pine trees, because we do have a fair few big pine trees on the property. So. Yeah.
Nothing but absolutely exposed roots and just the faint smell of cooked possum. Mm. Cooked possum. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Cheers, mate.
Bye.